Gardening. And today's readings bring into focus the figure of Mary. We're being drawn inward into an awareness of gestation rather than the outbound travelling stargazers that we've been as we've journeyed through Advent. Soon we will be fully into the narratives of the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. And they were carefully crafted to illustrate for us in drama what those writers discovered in and through their encounter with Christ. The story of the Nativity and the various scenes leading up to the arrival at the stable, they're not documented events. Rather, they comprise a deliberate story to engage us and to make us think beyond the reality of the drama and to discover for ourselves the enlightenment Jesus reveals. The choosing of a birth narrative by two out of the four Gospel writers is a good and obvious choice. It is perhaps the most ideal icon to illustrate that Christ reveals a new worldview, a new beginning, and a new orientation, a whole new experience of life. He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. He brings to birth a new order of being, a newness of who we are. The readings today all focus our attention on Mary, and perhaps it's Mary who is the central character in the whole narrative. The early church, and much of the present day church, read the story of the Nativity as actual event. So they had to create a Mary worthy of and in parallel to the Christ figure that they were putting up on a pedestal. So within the Catholic tradition, we have in Mary a nun-like figure with various titles. And even though elevated to Queen of Heaven, she's been pretty much out of the picture since her role in the stable. And even that role has been diminished to onlooker, one who peers into the glorious manger of the Christ child. However, if we explore the birth narratives as illustrations of the enlightened revelations of Jesus, we can then more critically ask, who is this Mary? And so discover that she is far from the nun-like saint of the Catholic tradition. The second reading from Hebrews gives us the true Christ-likeness of Mary. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me." What Christ said, or what Christ revealed, Mary did. She gave and became in reality the body of Christ. She birthed the reality of what was spoken. Then he added, "See, I have come to do your will." Once again, what Christ revealed in his teaching became the yes that Mary voiced. She enfleshed what had been revealed. As Paul explains in his letter, he abolishes the first in order to establish the second, and it is by God's will that we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. In the drama of the Nativity, we see this realized in Mary. She brings to birth a new order and is sanctified, made holy through her offering of herself. In the character of Mary, perhaps we see the true icon of our claim as being the church, our claim as being the body of Christ. The writers of the Nativity stories drew on and sought validation of their own long-held traditions and beliefs. And so what we can see is that references from the Old Testament were brought forward into the story of Christ's birth. And Micah gives us the backdrop today for the setting of the drama. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labour has brought forth. Because that same Hebrew tradition spoke of and wished for a Messiah, a Saviour, the emphasis for the early church was one of establishing Jesus as that Saviour. However, Jesus abolishes the first in order to establish the second. He goes way beyond any primitive expectation for a Mr. Fix-It. And as the gospel writers crafted their story of Jesus, so the reality of what Jesus reveals creatively finds itself threaded through the drama. Mary, in being the God-bearer, is not the mother of a Saviour. Rather, she is the embodiment of what Christ revealed. She is his teaching made real. When we ask, who is this Mary? We can discover so much about our calling. For we, like her, are called to be bearers of the divine. We are called to be the birthers of the reality of God. And we too can find our sanctification in the giving of ourselves. Who is this Mary? She is Queen Boadicea, much more than she's Queen of Heaven, giving her life and leading an uprising against the forces of Roman oppression. She is Joan of Arc, the Maid of Orleans, more than being handmaid of the Lord, giving her life for a greater cause than self and fighting forces of domination and control. She is Marie Curie, one whose work brought about new insights for the whole of humanity. She became the first woman to be entombed on her own merits in the Pantheon in Paris. And that reveals another delightful dimension, for the inscription above the entrance to the Pantheon reads, "To great men, the grateful homeland." Who is this Mary? Mary is Albert Einstein, who saw beyond the obvious and looked into the timelessness of life. Credited with the best known equation of all time, so too Mary's yes will always be an icon pointing a way forward for us. She's Gandhi, employing non-violent civil disobedience, having a baby out of wedlock, and an inspiration for civil rights way beyond her time. Like Gandhi, she too earned the honorific title Mahatma, which means high soul. The list is endless, and it even includes Lady Gaga, whose song The Edge of Glory reflects in essence the song of Mary we shared in today's psalm. When we look at Mary, we're looking at the very best of ourselves, the very best of each and every one of us. God gave God's self into the manger of humanity. How was this accomplished? We see in the figure of Mary that the gift is realized in our bearing God into reality. It is not the action of the divine, but rather our divine action that is created of life and of love. Thank you, Mary, for listening.